Hello, I'm Matej Mahulak from JBoss Red Hat. Today I will discuss metadata support for transactional web services. So this is the agenda of today's presentation. So I will briefly introduce web services and transactions. I will talk about the motivation for metadata support. I will present the business activity framework that basically provides full support for transactions. And I will discuss its API, its design, implementation, and how to actually build applications with the framework. I will also talk about what are the next steps to enhance the capabilities of the framework, and I will conclude at the end. So, web services and transactions. As we know, web service environment encourages development of applications that would integrate different businesses. So, such applications rely on complex business-to-business interactions. They often span many different organizations, and such interactions span many different organizations and last for hours, days, even months. And in such environment, transactions differ from atomic transactions that we know in normal environments. So some of the ACID properties, so atomicity, consistency, isolation, or durability need to be relaxed. And commonly, web service transactions are built on top of extended transaction models. The WS business activity is a specification which basically defines an extended transaction model for web services. It's called the business activity model. This model basically specifies that services do perform some work, and they also those services specify whether they can undo the work and if they can compensate if the business activity is requested to compensate. So a service start work, then it can either compensate the work instead of do a rollback, or it can complete or close the work. So consensus in such business activities is achieved through agreement protocols. So we have basically two agreement protocols: business agreement with participant completion and with coordinator completion. This is basically the state diagram that each participant has to go through in transactions, in business activity type extended transactions. So a participant basically when it does some work, it becomes active. It can be requested later to complete the work or cancel the work. If it completes the work, it can compensate it, and then it's basically, it goes to an end. So in normal transactions, we have some sort of commit protocols, two-phase commit protocols, and this is just some sort of an equivalent of a commit protocol. So we have the specification, we have working implementations, but what is the problem? So in web service-based atomic transactions, we only specify, for example, web service methods. We mark them with some sort of annotations, and we have some bridging code that reads the requirements of web service, and it can apply all the mechanism, all transaction boundary to at runtime. So business programmers are not concerned with any transaction related code. But what about business activities? So in business activities, the development is quite complex. So programmers need to basically code the core business logic. They also have to code the participant, which is responsible to responding to transaction control messages that come from the transaction coordinator. And they also have to build some sort of a manager that basically connects the participant with the core business logic. And this all results in a transaction-related code being well coupled with the business logic of the application. So what we would like to achieve is that we would like to ease writing of transactional web services. We would like to provide some separation of concerns, so to decouple transaction-related code and the core business logic. We would like to use some sort of metadata to describe requirements of web services, so that the programmer simply specifies, I want this web service to be transactional, and all mechanisms should be applied at runtime and should be transparent. So business activity framework is basically a framework that provides support and solves all the mentioned problems. So it has an annotation-based API which provides the separation of concerns, because programmers simply mark web service methods with some sort of requirements, and this results in basically the core logic preserves its simplicity and elegance. So the framework provides implementation of the manager and participant. Transaction management that is applied to web services is applied at runtime, and also the framework provides some sort of data management. So if my service performs some work, and then it says that it can compensate its work. So for example, the service books a room and then says that if the client requests to compensate, I will cancel this booking. So we also provide some sort of flexible data management, so we can remember any data we want. So the API is annotation based, so we have certain annotations, BA service, BA method, completed by, BA compensated by. Maybe I will discuss them on the on some sort of example later. We also have methods to specify what kind of data will be stored, remembered by the framework. And if you look at basically the API, you can see that it is quite intuitive and quite similar to what we know from EJB3 standard. So the annotations are quite simple, and in basically the simplest case, what we need to do is to annotate one web service method with one annotation only, and the framework will provide all the necessary mechanisms. We can also use some sort of methods which can which enable us to store additional data that might be used for compensation or completion. So maybe let's go to an example. So we have some sort of a stateless session bin which is exposed using the JSR 181 annotations as a web service. We have a method bookRoom which is exposed as a web service. So what we do is that we specify that this service should be a transactional web service, and it wants to participate in a transaction with the participant completion agreement protocol. The service can be compensated by the cancel room method, and we can see that some data, some annotations are used to actually mark which data needs to be remembered. So we want to remember the username, the password, and the order ID. This is just to actually show how additional methods can be used. We can also remember some, let's say, refund value. And in the compensation action, what we do is we simply specify how the data matches the arguments. We can also, this is not required, but we can also get the refund value. So the framework basically ensures that the correct value will be obtained within the within the logic. We can see that the data manager is actually not instantiated, so it is transparently injected by the framework. basically, So if a client books a room but later requests the transaction to compensate, the framework will automatically invoke that. It will match the data. It will provide the proper refund value. Basically compensation actions can be, or completion actions can be invoked in a different way. So we can invoke them on EJBs. We simply specify, the class in here is specified because I will later explain that, but we simply we need to have access to the interface of the EJB and to its JNDI name. We can also execute those compensation actions as web services, so we specify what kind of we specify where the service is located. We can, in here we have a bookroom method once again, which overrides some of those values. So in here, this method basically is not only compensated but is completed. So the client books a room but does not want the booking to be automatically made permanent. Like in EJBs, we have this notion of an extended entity manager, which is related to stateful session beans. This is some sort of maybe equivalent, because we can have some sort of a checkout. So the client basically needs to explicitly say that I booked a room and now we can complete it. If it booked a room and didn't say complete, but say I want to close the transaction without completing, basically the work is simply, let's say that the service forgets about the work. So the client never booked a room. And so in this example, we can see that console room is accessed using some sort of common information provided here, and in here we use some sort of a different service to do the checkout. Basically, there is a demo application for the framework where you can have all the annotations, and you can see if you book a room, if you then ask the business activity to compensate, you can see what actions are being invoked, how the data is matched with the arguments of the compensation action, and there will be a link to the website, so you can basically download the whole package, which is easily deployable. It's just an ear file, and if you want to test it, then well, it's highly appreciated if any comments can be sent. So maybe I should say how the framework basically does all that stuff, so how it works, so how it manages the transaction for web services. So if we look at a typical web service engine, we can see that the SOAP message is, at a certain point, it is transformed into an internal call of a method. So we put basically transaction demarcation in here, and this is because we don't want to handle SOAP messages. We want to basically operate on the lowest level possible, so that we can, for example, reuse the framework in non-web service related environments. So when such call comes, it is intercepted, and the framework reads the specification of the web service, so it reads the requirements of a web service, and it can provide necessary transaction processing. So each call is uniquely identified. Those calls are associated with participants and enlisted to play a role in a transaction, and the participants also store all this data. If we go back to the example, this data is specified to be stored, so basically the participant just stores it in case the business activity is requested to compensate. And so participants are responsible for responding to control messages that are sent by the coordinator, and it manages execution of completion and compensation actions as and when necessary. So the transaction management is done with, let's say, simple steps. So this basically resembles the agreement protocol, because the framework walks through this state diagram of the agreement protocol and executes actions which should be executed. So this is when the call comes. So this is when a client makes makes a call to a transactional web service. The call is intercepted and all necessary transaction processing is done here. If the service is requested to complete its work, then the completion management happens. Then the service may exit the work or may make basically close or compensate. So I don't know if I have time, but this is some sort of a high-level overview of what happens. So the call is intercepted. We have components that handle the transaction. We instantiate a participant for a call. We enlist this participant, associate the invocation. Then we proceed with the call to the business service. This call may put any data which might be required if the BA is requested to compensate. As you could see, basically the business programmer does not have to worry where to store this data. It just says put, and the framework will know to which participant this data should be stored. In completion management, so if the booking happened and the client wants to check out, so we have a component that performs the completion. So it also executes completion actions. So it executes the checkout. From within the completion action, we can get some data. And always the relevant participant will be associated to get the proper data. In compensation management, this is pretty much the same thing. And apart from the fact that in completion, we need to have an atomic transaction so that all completion actions are executed properly. In compensation, we do not have to. In close management, we just kill the participant. So the framework is built on top of the JBoss XML transaction service. So this is some sort of a low-level API that enables us to build transactional web services, but it forces business programmers to use the transaction-related pattern, so the participant, the manager, and the core business logic. And call interception is based on the JBoss AOP framework, but it is only a small lightweight component which actually can be rewritten in any framework. It just intercepts the calls and basically asks a different component to handle the transaction. And dynamic execution of completion, compensation actions, or any other actions is done with the Java Reflection API. So how to actually build transactional web services? So the business activity framework is divided into two parts. We have a client's library. We have some sort of a core transaction mechanisms package. And so what we do is that we need to register a handler. The handler basically obtains the transaction context from the SOAP header space and registers it locally. And we also need to basically include that in our enterprise application. So we need to include the core transaction mechanisms package. Of course, this package can be actually deployed into the application server as a standalone module, so we are working on that, and the programmer will not have to do anything apart from including the handler, which will be able to get the transaction context from the header space. So, yeah, so this is pretty much all about the framework, how it manages transactions, what it does with the data, how it manages the data, and maybe some future work. So, as you could see on the, maybe we can go to the diagram. This diagram is quite complex, so currently the framework supports completing, compensating, and let's say closing the transaction. But actually the closing needs to be extended, and we also want to support cancel, so we want to let the business programmer specify how a service should be canceled, how it should be closed. So this will basically, we will design some new annotations like BA closed by, BA canceled by, where the programmer simply says, my web service method should be compensated by, completed by, closed by, canceled by, whatever service we want to use. We also want to have dynamic execution of web services. So currently, if we have a compensation action, it is exposed as a as an EJB. It can be exposed as a web service. There are still some issues related to what kind of data should be put as arguments to invoke the web service, to invoke the compensation action. So, yeah, so this is pretty much done, but it's in its first stage. So we also want to enable programmers to not to use annotations, but to use some sort of an external XML file. So we would like to enable programmers to expose existing web services as business activity tasks. We would also like to extend the capabilities by developing some sort of completion and compensation chains. So currently the business programmer specifies only one action. So there is only, there's always one-to-one mapping. So we have the original service and the compensation service or the completion service. And what we would like to do is that we would like to specify, let's say, five compensation actions, and the framework will basically try to invoke only a single one, currently available one, because if we have remote compensation actions, then the first one might be not available. So we want to proceed to the second one, and we want to develop that as well. We are also currently working on support for crash recovery. So we would like to register all the compensation actions if different clients book a room or book some fitness passes for the hotel or some other things, that we would like to remember that the client may later cancel the booking, may then cancel ordering the fitness passes. And also all data which was stored needs to be made serializable. So currently the business programmer needs to specify that explicitly. So it needs to say that, it needs to ensure that all the data which is inserted to the framework is serializable. So I think that I will now summarize. So the business activity framework pretty much solves the problem of building transactional web services. So as in JSR 181, you do not have to know any of the low-level related stuff. You just mark a method and it becomes a web service. And with the business activity framework, you also mark a method and it becomes a transactional web service. You specify the compensation action with a single statement, declarative statement. And all transaction processing is basically specified, is basically applied at runtime and is fully transparent. So the framework has been released as an open source project. There is a website. It has a bug tracking system as well. Currently, the it's still a very, let's say, it's an ongoing project. So the version is 0.2.1, but it consists of the full source code. You have the documentation. You have a full working demo application if you want to test it. So the framework has been also scheduled to be included in the JBoss transaction service, which is now the core part of the JBoss application server. So you won't need to bundle your application with the framework. The framework will be within the application server. You will need to just use the annotations. And as I previously discussed, the transaction demarcation happens after the call to a web service has been transformed into an internal method called on a Java method. So basically, we can easily reuse the framework to actually support other technologies than web services. For example, you might expect that at some point in the future, there will be EJBs, which you will be able to specify that this method of a stateless session bin will be compensated by this method. The API will probably influence the JSR 156 specification, which is a specification for XML transactions. And Bill has written some articles about the framework. You can take a look at his blog to see further examples and some sort of discussions. I think that on IEEE Explorer, there will be also a research paper about the framework. It is actually about the very first version of the framework, but if you want to go through the through all the steps that happen within the framework, then it's actually worth reading. Also on the website, there is a full transactional web services programmers API document. And I think that within a few weeks, there will be a maintenance guide, so which will allow you to extend the framework and add the capabilities that you want. So that's, I think that would be it. And are there any questions? Sorry? Actually, in extended transaction, you relax the isolation, so you don't have the notion of that. So if I, for example, is this what you're asking, or? Like, let's say that the transaction happens and you book a room, and so it is automatically visible, so you don't, this is basically the nature of extended transactions. So you book a room and it is visible. You can, for example, an external client may cancel the room, and the first client will try to compensate, and the compensation will fail because the booking has been canceled. So, but this is pretty much how extended transaction works. So they are designed for long-running transactions where you have a human being involved in a transaction, so you cannot provide the locking, because often the transactions span different companies and it can last for hours. A typical transaction manager will simply time out. And also I should mention that some support for timeout will be also included, so the programmer will be able to specify that if my client does not compensate my transactional web service within 2 hours, I will automatically compensate. So yeah, this will be also added to the framework. Yes?
Thank you.
Yeah. No, basically at this point, as I said, the framework does not support crash recovery. So if your server crashes, then you lose all the data. Yes. But yeah. So are there any more questions? And like, I think that it would be really good if you could take a look at the website, and actually I don't know if the newest version is uploaded there, but I will make sure that it is tomorrow or maybe even today. And if you can download it, and it's a simple package that can be easily compiled, easily deployed, and you will probably, basically the demo application provides all the information. So you have each method described, you have all the annotations, you have the description of each method with, let's say, every information. You have basically two additional screens which tells you what kind of method you have invoked, what is the list of registered compensation actions, and you will be able to see how the framework goes through all the stages of an extended transaction. And yes? Performance of? Actually, the overhead is pretty low. The thing is that it is a general solution, so it's probably less efficient if you wrote everything from scratch, because yes, it is designed to, let's say, suit most possible combinations or solutions of a transactional web service. But the thing is that it operates on calls on methods, so it does not handle SOAP messages, which basically increases the performance. So basically, if you invoke a web service, a transactional web service, you pretty much don't see a difference. And now it's, as I said, it's an ongoing research project. So there are some issues with the logging, for example. So the logging is turned on by default. So you see all the messages. I mean, you see all the things that happen within the framework. And this causes some sort of an overhead because of string manipulation, for example. But okay, so if there are no questions, then thank you for your attention.